Yeah, good morning. It's good to see you all here, and I hope that Lord really blessed you through the Christmas days, and you really thought about the true meaning of what Christmas was. You know, today I got a message. I think I might have you out of here by 1 o'clock. Is that okay? You know, it's a long one. I'm kind of, y'all ever see the movie Smokey and the Bandit? That's the way I feel today. I got a lot to say and short time to say it in. So I better get busy, hadn't I? As you look at the screen up there, the message is judgment seat of Christ. Have you ever thought about you're going to come into the judgment seat of Christ when you go to heaven? You know, it's kind of interesting, and as I was looking at this and that, I seen there's 5 crowns that we're going to see, and I want to share them with you, but before we get there, I want to lay a little foundation for what it is. But if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad." So according to that scripture, one of these days we're going to come before God. We're going to stand before Jesus. And we're going to be judged for good or bad. But I got some good news for you. The judgment is not like the judgment here when you go into a courtroom and being for the bad things you've done. The judgment's going to be for the good things that we've done here on earth. That's exciting to me. And when I was preparing this message and seeing it, I thought, wow, this is neat. This is exciting. I hope I can bring it across the way that I received it. But as we look at them, there's 5 judgments. If you want to write them down real quick, because like I said, I may not get to them all. But the first one is, you got them up there? Yeah, the first one is the victor's crown. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. We're going to look at each one of these individually. And the second one's the crown of rejoicing. You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. The crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4:8. The crown of life. And this one has 2 scriptures. In James 1:12 and Revelation 2:10. And the crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:1-4. And as we look at these, I want you to know that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. I hope you'll take this and the scriptures that we use and go home and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and let you see what they are. To me, this is a message I hope that motivates us to get more into the Word and doing what the Lord wants us to do today, because the time is getting short. And you know, I heard a message one time where a pastor was speaking and I only got one thing out of it. You ever heard of what your take-home part? That's one thing you take home? And what he said really touched me. He said, "What you believe will determine where you live, and how you live here will determine how you'll live there." I thought, wow, you know, that's powerful. And here I am today. That was years ago I heard that. Here today I'm preaching something similar to that. But as we look at this and we think about it and lay in a foundation, in 1 Thessalonians 13:18, we find that Paul is saying, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are falling asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus." Now, as we read that, as most of us know, that word sleep means died. They have died. Those that died before us, our loved ones or whoever it might be, are died. And then the scripture goes on and says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will these, listen, this is good, listen to it. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them into the clouds, and meet to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these things. Did you hear what it said? Now, there's two judgments. The judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. And the white throne judgment is for the lost people. It's for those who did not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And the white the one we're going to be talking about, those who are born again. I want you to notice that. And when Jesus comes, this is not the second coming of Jesus neither. Because if you look at the scripture, it says we will be caught up, he's in a cloud, and we'll be caught up in the air to meet with him. When Jesus returns, he's coming down to earth with us with him. That's exciting to me, you know. But we're going to be able to be with Jesus. But now we're caught up, and we're caught up. And by the way, that word caught up, that word for you won't find in the Bible is called rapture. I don't know how many ever heard of the word rapture. I got in an argument with a guy one time. He was telling me that the rapture's not in the Bible, and I said, yes, it is. Well, after about 5 minutes of debate, friendly debating, he was talking about being caught up, which is what the scripture says, but the word rapture is not in the Bible. But we find here in Thessalonians that we're going to be caught up one day. There's going to be a trumpet sound, a shout, and you need to be listening to it for. I don't think it's too far off. And we're going to go and be with the Lord in heaven. And then as we think about that, after we're caught up, most theologians believe we will appear before the Savior at a great ceremony as a judgment seat of Christ. You get caught up and there's going to be a great ceremony. We're going to come before Jesus and stand before him. It's going to be something awesome that we can't even understand. But again, like I said, with the rapture, it's called the being caught up. So now that we're looking at judgment seat of Christ, they also call that the Bema seat. Now, I want to share a little bit about the Bema seat. It is in the Roman days, and they had athletes and everything would come in and compete and doing different things. And there would be a kind of like, it'd be sitting up here like this. They'd be sitting and judging what they did and how they did it. Kind of like the Olympics we watch today. And you know, I don't know about y'all, but I love to watch ice skating. The way they glide across there, so graceful. And they're all judged. Or there's points taken away when they don't do right. So this is what I'm talking about. And that's why some people call it the Bema seat. Because Jesus, God chose Jesus to sit on the cross, on the judgment seat up there, and judge everything that we do here on earth. You know, that's the interesting part. It's what you're doing here now, today. From the time that you were born again into the family of God, to either you go home by death, or Jesus comes and raises us up. Then we're all going to be caught up. And we're all going to come before God. And as we see this, we think about it. But the judgment seat of Christ is where we are judged for what we did here on earth and for his kingdom. Also called the Bema seat. But did you hear that now? It's what we do here on earth today. What we do here on earth today, we will receive crowns. We will receive awards. And I believe everyone here knows that you cannot outgive God. Whatever you give in love, whatever you give from your heart, God's going to multiply it back to you. So that's an exciting thing and something for us to be working by. I've always heard that you can't take nothing to heaven with you. You know, I just found out that's a lie. I'm storing up in heaven 5 crowns, or I don't know if I'm going to have 5 crowns. I might have this one, but I hope I'll have one. But we'll look at that in a little bit. But as we think about this, one of us will be judged by Jesus based on how we lived our lives and how we invested the resources God gave us. Notice that, how we invested the resources that God gave us, the talents that he gave us to do whatever it is. The Bible tells us we all have gifts and we need to use them in the local body to glorify God, to lift one another up, to build one another up, and to build the kingdom of God up greater. And the question is, are we doing it? But with this here being caught, throne of Christ, I want us to look at some scriptures for that. It's interesting. Solomon said, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." That's in Ecclesiastes 12:14. And then we find out that Luke said, "For nothing is a secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will be known and come to light," in Luke 8:17. And then we find again that Hebrews 4:13, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." So you find that, you see, with all this, we are going to give an account. And I want to tell you something. In God's word, there is no loopholes. There is no way of getting around it. There is no excuses. God said it, and that settles it. And we need to see that, and we need to understand that. But, you know, I found another one after I was doing this, but it's in Romans 14, in verses 10 and 12. Paul says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you now, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." And then verse 12 goes on, "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." So you see, there's no way out. This is going to happen, and it's going to be great. But it's our choice here on earth what kind of judgment we're going to have. And as we look at this and think about it, Jesus will judge perfectly, as we know he is perfect, and with wisdom and full understanding and without partiality. You know you're going to be judged correctly when Jesus is doing it. So that's great. But as we think about this, what's the basis that Jesus is going to do to judge us? How's he going to go about doing this? And if we look at 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, we think something really an interesting scripture. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. If anyone's work which has built and endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss." I like this part. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." So you see, your works has nothing to do with your salvation. But what you do here has a lot to do with the rewards you'll get in heaven. I'm not saying these five crowns is all there is. There's a lot more if you get in the Word and find it. But I just thought it was interesting we had five crowns. But if we look at this and we think about it, so what we see in these verses is that what God has permitted to do in and through the child of God is that which is good, gold, silver, and precious stones. In other words, when God calls you to be a whatever whatever gift he calls you to be, or whatever he calls you to do, teaching a Bible study class, teaching, preaching, or being hospitality, or being one just handing out offers. Everything's important to God. It brings everything together. And the things you do to build up the kingdom, you will get a crown for. But then it goes on and says, and that which the individual does by his own power for his own glory, because it suits his own will, because it promotes his own purposes, is wood, hay, and stubble. Excuse me a minute, I gotta get it ready. But as we look at these things, it's important. So you see the difference in what you do? If you listen to God and God tells you to go visit John Doe, and you go visit him. But if you don't, you're not doing what God told you to do. But if you decide to go visit John Doe on your own, that's great, and he'll probably listen. But we got to do what God tells us to do. But the things that we think we should be doing, the things that we want to do, that's wood, hay, and stubble. A good example is, I ain't going to use that one, but as I think about it, let's say this scripture in Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are we doing that today as believers? Are we doing what God called us to do? Are we telling people about Jesus? The Great Commission, we all know in Matthew, go and tell, make disciples, teach them all things. Are we doing that? No, so we're not going to get a crown for it. But as we look at these things, but are we doing things for God the way he wants us to do it? Or are we doing it for the way we want to do it? Think about, I can't think of the guy's name, Nineveh, who God told him to go and preach the gospel, and he said no. And he went the other way. He wasn't doing it. What happened to him? He ended up in the belly of a fish. Now, that's hard to believe, but Scripture says it happened. And he come around, he got spit out where he was supposed to be. So, you see, we need to obey God. We need to do what God tells us to do in these things. But as a reminder again, this is not the great white throne judgment. It's in Revelation 20 describes it. The judgment seat is not about whether we will get into heaven. We will already be there. You know, it's not whether you're going to get into heaven. It's not what you're going to be doing or for being judged for not what you never do. And it's going to be judged for what you did. I often think about is the Lord was showing me this, and that boy, how, you know, one day I'm going to get to go and stand in front of Jesus. And I know all the things he's going to say is, well done, good and faithful servant, and give me a crown, maybe two crowns. I don't know. But I'll know when he judges me. But I do know one thing. It wasn't for all the bad things I did where I tried to take the place of God and do it in my way. But as we look at this and think about it, we got to look at the crown. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:25-27, the crown, the victor's crown. And everyone who competes for one prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Notice that, perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who's beating the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, myself should become disqualified. You know, as we look at that and we think about that, there's two things I want us to see there. We're going for an imperishable crown. Now, in them days, they raised in the Roman times, they raced and they get a crown of leaves or something put on their head. And it fades away and everything. But this, what we're getting, is incorruptible. It's just, it's great, it's wonderful. And therefore we should, therefore I run not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one that beats the air. In other words, I know what I'm doing, I know I'm going certainly, and what I'm striving for is for what God wants me to do. And I know it's not a bunch of air and studying and everything. And then he shows, goes on and says, but I discipline my body. Do we discipline our bodies for the Word of God, getting in the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, and doing the Word of God? And then he says, and bring it into subjection. Thus, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So this is what the first crown is, the crown of the victor's crown. We get victory. That's going to be a great day. And then we look at the second one, the crown of rejoicing. As we look at this one, we find it in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even put you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in his coming? You know, as we look at this, that's one of leading, leading people to Christ. How much of the time do we lead people to Christ? And you know, I want to say something about that. I've never seen before till within the last year. You're not doing it by yourself. You know, you think about that. It's a teamwork. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And then somebody else reaped the harvest. So it's a teamwork. Someone is planting a word, telling Jesus loves you, or whatever it might be. And someone else comes along and says something else. And God increases in their mind. And you know what he says about his word? It won't return void. So what we tell them by the word of God is going to last. And then somebody comes along and reaps the harvest and leads the person into salvation. So it's not a one-man thing. It's a teamwork that we got to have within the church. And that is something. And then we come to the third crown, the crown of righteousness. In 2 Timothy 4:8, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love God and his appearing. You know, this is an easy, really one. The crown of righteousness is reserved for those who are longing for the Lord Jesus, who watch for him to come, who's listening for that trumpet, or to hear that cry, it's time to come. You know, that's who the crown of righteousness is for, who watch for him to come back. Those who are living the word. Those who are living the word and tells us to. You know, and that's where we get to Christ's crown of righteousness. You know, the scripture even says that when we get born again, Jesus gives us a robe of righteousness. And we're supposed to wear it. But do we? I can't answer that for you. Now, I don't all the time. But I try. I struggle to. But, you know, as we think about that, the robe of righteousness, oh, how great that is. And, you know, with each one of these crowns, as we look at them, if you look and notice, they're all based on what we do here in this world, while we're here, wherever we are. But then we come to another crown, a crown of life. Two different verses for this one. We find in James 1:12, blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Notice that word, loved him. And then in Revelations 2:10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulations. 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Do you see that going on today? Do you hear people being thrown in prison? Do you hear people who are sacrificing their lives for the testimony of being a child of God's? You know, it's going on all around us. But if you endure, if you go through all the temptation, you will receive the crown of life. And then, you know, as we look at that, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There's no getting around it. If you're living for Jesus and you're out telling about Jesus, and sure, in your life, you will suffer persecution. So, you know, if we look at these things, there's the crown of life, how we live and how we endure persecution. But crown number five, oh, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah. Crown number five is 1-4. The crown of glory. You like glory? You love to be glorified? This is awesome. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, for eagerly, nor as being lord over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, he will receive the crown of glory. Oh, that's going to be a day. Let's think about that. Standing there, and Jesus says, "Well done, receive the crown of glory, my good and faithful servant." That's going to be a joy. That ought to really get us excited about doing things here in this world, here in this church. Here, I believe God's got something special for Beulah this year. I really believe that in my spirit. And we got to be in the position for it to happen. But as we look at this crown of glory, the crown seems especially designed for Christian leaders and for those who are faithful shepherds of God's people. Pastors and whoever, larger churches have different people doing things. But, you know, as you think about it, I kind of see it a little bit different. You see, because it says the crown of glory for holding up the righteousness and teaching and that. But what about... you might be the shepherd of a small group. Maybe your flock might be a family and children. It might be a Sunday school class or small group again. The Lord often gives responsibility for the spiritual well-being of others, and what an opportunity to serve Him. Whatever it might be. You might be in where you work, saying something to somebody. Jesus loves you, or just something different. Or the main thing is you're living a life where people want to know what's so different about you. And I think that's where Christianity falls the most. But as we look at this and we see these five crowds, that's great. It's awesome. And they're going to be a joy, and it's going to be fun getting them. But you know, what are we going to do with them? We're in heaven. We've got everything we need. Streets of gold. I don't know what kind of, some translation says a mansion, some says a dwelling place. But I'll tell you what, if Jesus built it, that's going to be any better than anything you see in this world. But we have that. So what are we going to do with these rewards that we get? This one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Think about that. But it is that, these many things. But as we look at it and as we think about it, remember, they cannot compare with our ultimate joy and great rewarder, Jesus. He's the king. He's the one. He overrides any one of these crowns or all of them, however many you would receive. So in Genesis 15:1, it's got a very interesting scripture. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your exceedingly great rewarder. Ooh, yeah. I am your shield and your exceed, not just your great rewarder, but I am your exceedingly great rewarder. Oh, what a day that's going to be when we get there. And then as we think about this, you know, and I asked a while ago, what are we going to do with these crowns? I just got an idea here that you may agree with me on. In Revelation, we find that in 10:11, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits at the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Notice that the elders are bowing down and worshiping God and casting their crowns to him. Do you think that could be us too? Do you think we could take maybe one, two, three, however many crowns we get for what we've done in this life, and be able to come up front before Jesus and cast your crown out? Thank you, Lord, for letting me be here. Thank you, Lord, for being my redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for using me a little bit here on earth. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be your servant. What an awesome time we got ahead of us. But you know, that's great and that sounds good and all that. But if you remember, in one of the scriptures I read where it talked about wood, hay, and stubble, some of them all may be burned, wood, hay, and stubble. And you make it just as by fire. What about those who have nothing to give to him? You know, so, and I don't know. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. I can't judge you, but where are you and what are you doing for Jesus? It's not about what is Jesus doing for you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. And we need to see that, and we need to, if we need to, and see, hey, you know, how much do I pray for, ask Jesus to help me? Jesus, do this for me. Jesus, heal my body. How many times do you actually say, Jesus, what can I do for you? You know, and then be willing to do it unconditionally. God's love is unconditional, and he wants us to love us the same way. If he says go and do, are you willing to go and do? It's up to us. And these are the five crowns we found in the Bible. And I'm sure there's many, many other blessings for us when we get to heaven. But I just wanted you to see them and what you're going to be able to do with the crowns. And know that you can do something here that you can do for when you get to heaven to give to Jesus. And I'd like to close with one other thing, one thought. As a young Christian, and it was around Christmas time, I wanted to give God something. And I was praising, seeking him. God, what can I give you? I want to give you something. I was born again. I want to give you something. What can I give you? And I was seeking it and seeking it. And finally, one day he said, you can give me you. I want to use you. I want you to be my feet. I want you to be my hands. I want you to be my mouth. I want you to be my eyes. I want to walk through you and do things. Will you let me? That's what you could give me for Christmas. That's what I sent my son for, that we could have fellowship together, that I could bless you beyond blessings if you just let me. But you don't let me like I want you to. Get in my word and see what you got to do for me to really bless you. So this year, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions because I always break them because they're man. But I would encourage you this year to seek God. What does He want you to do this year for Him? You know, I know I look, some of us are getting kind of up in age. We can't do things, but I'm going to tell you a story, you know, close. The church, little church like this one, about the size of this one, went to, we had elderly ladies, widows, and they would come to church. They would get a ride to come to church. And then once a month, we had an interim pastor, and he would have us go out on Saturdays in twos, by two, mostly husband and wife, and he'd give us a section of town to go through. And these two senior women come. We got talking, you know, what are we going to do with them? How are we going to take them? And they started talking and said, well, you can go with so-and-so, and you can go with so-and-so. Oh, no, 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 we didn't come to go. We come to be here and pray while you guys go for you. Hey, there's a ministry. We can pray for one another. We can pray for those that are going out. There's power in prayer. But it's your choice. What are you going to do in the time you got left in this world? Because you will answer. You will get rewards. It's up to us. God said it. He set it up. And I showed you scripture for every bit of it. It's up to you. It's up to me. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this message. And Father, I pray that it would reach the hearts of each and every one of us and cause us to be and do what you've called us to be and do. Father, you know the hearts, and I pray that you'd continue working in their lives, in our lives, in my life, Lord, that we can build a kingdom, your kingdom, in a greater way here at Beulah Wesleyan Church, Lord. You know the things you want to do here, and I pray that you'd reveal them to our pastor, and that he would present them to us, and we would say, yeah, let's do it. And remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Lord. I thank you, Father, and I pray for each one as they go home or go out or whatever they're doing. I pray for your protection. I just thank you for them, for their faithfulness in coming, Lord. We just give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.